It's over. The Warriors are NBA champs, and they'll get it with what I expect to be an overwhelming statement game in Game 4 Friday night, and the sweep. If they cared that much to come back down in Game 3 with under 2 minutes to go, what do you think they're going to feel like Game 4 with LeBron already on the ropes waving the white flag? You've all been witness to one of the great runs in NBA history, and now it's over. Start celebrating for the next couple of weeks right here on the flagship, 95.7 Dubs Radio, powered by Verizon.
It's time for you to join the conversation. Tweet them at JT the Brick. Call 888-957-9570 or text at 95795. Now, here's JT the Brick.
Thanks for coming back. Always appreciate the fact that you're listening here. Steve Kerr is coming up with Damon a little bit later on today. Excited about that. Greg's in Cleveland. John Dickinson's in Cleveland. Parade routes, parade talk for next week. Viewing parties and the opportunity to take advantage of everything right in front of you in the Bay Area right here on the flagship station. It would be irresponsible for me today to not go after LeBron James. It would be bad sports talk radio if I gave LeBron James a pass. I'm bringing the national perspective of my sports talk show into this show because that's what we need to do. We all know that the Warriors won. Why did they win the game? Who's to blame? Who gets the credit? I believe that there's more blame to LeBron James and more credit that goes to the Warriors. Doesn't mean I don't respect the Warriors' win. Doesn't mean I don't think the Warriors deserve it and they're iconic and all that, but I'm covering one game at a time. Well, plenty of time to look at the legacy of the Warriors and their dynasty in years to come. I'm here to analyze Game 3 of the NBA Finals, where I thought Cleveland was the better team until they fell apart late. Bad decisions by Kyrie Irving. Awful decisions defensively. LeBron James deferring again. How long are we going to have to deal with this LeBron James passing in the paint crap? How long? I mean, what are we going to do? I know that there are times where he makes a good pass and a teammate hits a good shot. But this is the same LeBron James who passed the ball to Boobie Gibson early in his career at Dallas, and he couldn't hit a shot. This is the same LeBron James passing to Kyle Korver, who's been playing really bad so far in the NBA Finals, played a little bit better in this last game, but LeBron James is the guy who's got to take that shot late in a game, period. It's really interesting to me. It goes back to Marshawn Lynch at the Super Bowl in Seattle, when they decided not to give him the ball at the goal line and then there was an interception. It changed everything for the Seahawks. The Seahawks had the opportunity to go back-to-back, maybe win three Super Bowls or two out of three and be one of the great teams all time, especially with the Legion of Boom and that defense, and they blew it. They made a bad decision at the goal line affecting Marshawn Lynch and his legacy, all to put the ball in the air and try to win it a certain way. Well, it's the same thing last night, that LeBron James clearly is the better player. I mean, do we all agree the referees were in Cleveland's pockets last night? I mean, oh, my God. I mean, the referees, they were giving a red carpet. All that was missing was a red carpet on the baseline and a red carpet coming down the middle of the lane. Anything Cleveland wanted to do, the Warriors were going to be called for a foul anytime. And Cleveland couldn't figure it out. Tyronn Lue, to me, doesn't have as good of a team, but I think he's done a pretty bad job throughout this series making adjustments and especially controlling Kyrie Irving, who takes some of the worst shots you could ever imagine for a guy who's really good and knows how to finish around the rim. I was tweeting like a madman last night with Kyrie Irving just, you know, taking bad shot after bad shot. Some of them went in, but, you know, LeBron and Kyrie, I thought, were better than Durant and Steph for 3.5 quarters of that game. But fatigue and a lot of other issues come into play as the Warriors come back, cover the spread, and win that game and move to Game 4 in what should be the sweep. And the sweep matters. I told you that. And I got to apologize to all the listeners to the show who called in and said sweep, because that's part of my job. That's part of my job. Because I definitely believe that when you look at the Warriors before the start of the series, they were not going to sweep. They weren't going to sweep. Cleveland's too good to sweep. I was wrong. The Warriors are much better than Cleveland, and they're going to sweep them. But that being said, Cleveland should have won that game last night. And part of me wanted to see Cleveland win that game last night because I want more basketball. And so do you, unless you're a diehard Warrior fan and you want that 16-0 shirt. But the rest of the country, the majority of the people want more basketball next week. They want to watch games next week in the middle of the week when there's nothing going on other than U.S. Open golf. We wanted NBA basketball, and it looked like Cleveland was going to extend it and at least make the Warriors come home for Game 5 and have to win it on their own court. All right, I want to go to the end of the game, and this is what everybody is talking about, the end of the game and what happened. We want to start off with Kyrie and this N1 bucket, which I thought could have been the dagger and put the game away.
Irving with the ball, far side, drives on Clay, throws it up, got the call and the bucket.
You can't stop it. That's just better offense, Tim.
All right, so that there they go up by 5. They go up at that point in the game on that Kyrie N1. They go up 107-102. Still plenty of time left. 2 minutes to go. You wonder what's going to happen here. Then I thought one of the bigger bonehead plays defensively is when LeBron James decided to switch off on Kevin Durant. Then Durant saw Tristan Thompson, who's supposed to be a tougher defender, and Durant just took him into the deep water and destroyed him.
Kevin Durant now guarded by Tristan Thompson on a switch, takes him all the way in, baseline fade up and good with the right hand. It's a 2-point game with a minute 15 to go, and now Tyronn Lue will call a timeout.
What a shot, what a move by Durant. Going to his left, that fading away on the baseline.
Tough, tough shot.
And clutch, clutch, clutch shot.
Now let's stop for a second. What happens if LeBron James is covering Durant on that play? That's what we're talking about. We don't know. Durant might have still hit a fadeaway jumper, but LeBron James being on him is the smarter decision at that point in time. LeBron James needs to be guarding exclusively Kevin Durant on every play in the final 2 minutes of that game with the lead during switches and picks. He's just got to play harder. Now you could talk about fatigue and all that, but this is what we're going to remember for the rest of the NBA Finals. When LeBron James had the ball out on the perimeter with a 2-point lead and the opportunity to get to the free throw line to score, I thought easily fouled Draymond Green out. Draymond Green, I thought, would have easily fouled out on this play if LeBron just would have tried to finish the play.
It's James with a dribble, working on Draymond, crossover the right hand to the top of the key, left hand dribble to the paint, pass the corner, Korver for three, he missed it, Durant's got the rebound, 50 seconds to go for the Warriors, they're down by 2, Durant up the left side, calls his own number down, and he hit a 3, Durant hit a 3, the Warriors lead by 1, 114-113 with 42 seconds to go.
That's great. That's 23 seconds of radio gold by Tim Roy that we should save forever. I'm going to save it. I'm going to have my team of guys save that so I can have that a year, 2 years from now on whatever show I'm hosting, because that's a really important soundbite. Because LeBron passed and deferred, which he's getting criticized for today, and then Durant came down, and LeBron James was backpedaling at the three-point line. Let's stop for a second and talk about that. Why would LeBron James be backpedaling on Kevin Durant with the 2-point lead, with Durant and the ability as a 7-footer to hit a 3? What LeBron should have done is come forward on Kevin Durant and get Durant to give up the basketball. And Durant saw that LeBron backpedaled below the 3-point line and hit that 3. So that's a mistake on LeBron James. That's a mistake for LeBron and making that mistake, and he needs to be held accountable for it, which we did the first hour. And then the Iguodala strip of LeBron is amazing, because it just goes to show you that Andre, all year long, ups and downs, needed a little rest, you know, played in spots better than others, but this guy plays his biggest basketball with a Warriors jersey on in the NBA Finals.
Here's Tristan Thompson, screens for Irving. They double-team him. The ball goes to James in the corner. Stripped by Andre. Loose ball. It's out of bounds. James can't control it. The Warriors get the ball back with 10.4. Andre Iguodala with a huge defensive play.
Just stole the ball away from James. James was not going to take a chance that they would foul.
All right, so let's get back to what happened in the last minute, 2 minutes of the game, and why we're debating it and we're analyzing every second of it. Because after that Kyrie and one, where they had a 5-point lead, there was still opportunities for Cleveland to win that game. And another big point on LeBron backpedaling on the Durant 3, that they're playing at home and they're getting the calls from the refs. And if Durant would have missed that 3, or if Durant didn't take that 3, and they got a 2-point bucket, Cleveland still would have had the ball left with an opportunity in a tie game to win the game or at least get to overtime. The Durant 3 put Cleveland now down, where then Cleveland just imploded down the stretch because of the pressure and the magnitude of the event, plus the Warriors' exceptional defense. Courtesy of John Dickinson, LeBron just spoke to the media about that play where he didn't shoot. He passed it to Korver.
If I could have the play over again, I would come off a three-screen situation. Draymond would switch on me with five fouls. I would get him leaning. I would drive left. I would see KD step up. I would see Steph Curry drop on Kevin, and I would see Kyle Korver in the corner to one of the greatest three-point shooters in this league history and give him an opportunity in the short corner.
So there he is again. That's LeBron's ego in the way. That's LeBron telling everybody that he made the best basketball move, that he's going to be the greatest player of all time no matter what we think. That is the arrogance of LeBron James telling you again that he would do the same thing over and over again. See, in LeBron James's mind, he believes that a good pass is better than him getting a bucket and an N1. And with Kevin Durant and Draymond there in front of him, you can debate that. But I believe because of the officials and the referees and the building they were playing in, that LeBron James, at a minimum, LeBron James should have just stopped and get Draymond to run by him and just hit a little 7-footer in the lane. I mean, Draymond's running at full speed trying to catch LeBron before LeBron makes that pass. All LeBron had to do is stop, and Draymond flies by him, and LeBron just hits a little baby 7-footer, 6-footer, and they go up by 4. They go up by 4 at that point in time. But LeBron James wanted to give it to Kyle Korver, who he, statistically, all of the big threes that Kyle Korver's ever hit in his life never mattered. They were with the Atlanta Hawks. Excuse me, when did they ever play in a game that ever mattered at this level? You cannot let Kyle Korver, when you're down 0-2 in the NBA Finals, decide the outcome of a game when you have LeBron James. Now, if Kyle Korver's in the game and he's playing for Atlanta, and the point guard from Atlanta wants Korver to take that shot, I'm fine with it all day. Not with LeBron James. And for those who say Michael Jordan did the same thing with Steve Kerr and John Paxson, Michael Jordan had more wiggle room to do that because Jordan was and on his way to being the best of all time. LeBron James has given up that ball in the past and lost before. He should know better than that. I mean, where would LeBron James be if Chris Bosh didn't get that offensive rebound and kick it out to Ray Allen for Ray Allen to hit a miracle three that gave LeBron a championship in Miami where they lost? They had yellow tape wrapped around the court. The game was over, and Ray Allen hit the biggest shot in Miami Heat history. So for LeBron, I'm sorry if I'm a little bit over the top, but Cleveland should have won that game. They were the better team last night for the majority of the game, and their collapse down the stretch was the reason that they lost. Steve Kerr, after the game and the importance early on, I thought the Warriors shooting all those threes early in the first half kept them in the game.
KD made some huge plays down the stretch. I thought Klay's defense on Kyrie was amazing. And overall, it was just an incredibly tough, resilient performance. It wasn't our smartest game that we've played all year, but it was maybe our toughest.
That was Kerr on the defense down the stretch, and it was exceptional then. It was really exceptional down the stretch. Kerry Keating, kind enough to join us, host of Warriors Warm Up. And, Coach, I know you probably disagree with me. I'm more critical of LeBron, like a lot of people today, than I'm more giving credit to the Warriors for that 11-0 run. What do you think about LeBron's defensive and offensive decisions in the final 90 seconds?
You know, I was critical, JT, before the series even started, of definitely Kyrie and J.R. Smith, but to a lesser extent, but still visible, LeBron. I thought LeBron was too much of a traffic cop on defense. I thought he didn't assert himself overall in these playoffs leading up to the finals to be more of a physical presence. And obviously one that we're finding out right now was much needed because KD is just putting these guys to a torch right now. And obviously he's the only guy capable physically to cause a problem for KD. Although we found out last night, not as much when KD comes down and has that 7'6" wingspan shooting pull-up threes over him. I think if you want to be LeBron and you want to be that guy, and of course you and I and the pundits, we like to use the comparisons and talk about him where he fits in. I think one thing when you look at this thing that people will talk about in the barbershops, the corners, and on the shows, Michael versus LeBron is that Michael Jordan was Defensive Player of the Year on multiple occasions and took a pride in that I think really sets him apart right now, aside from the overall winning that I think is going to be a problem for LeBron as we move forward, because as we know, JT, this isn't slowing down, and we could possibly see LeBron versus this Warrior group for at least another year or two to come.
I think the fair analysis also, as we're talking to Kerry Keating here, is that LeBron in the entire series through three games has 11 total points in the fourth quarter, and he's shooting 36.4%. In the first quarter, he's shooting 70%. In the second quarter, 71.4%. Coach, do you think that has to do more with fatigue with LeBron in the fourth quarter? That's got to play a role in it, and the fact that he doesn't make great decisions at times down the stretch.
You know, we were on the air last night, and I like to always pick a Donald Foyle's brain, him having played in the league for 10 years, just from an insider's perspective of what that fatigue really means. And I did say before the game last night that I thought for Cleveland to win, LeBron would have to play 48 minutes. And I think if you're going to go that route, and you're not going to be using timeouts or two-for-one situations, if you're Ty Lue and you're just going to let the game play out, hopefully that they can outrun them, I think you have to strategically use some timeouts every so often just to give LeBron a refresher and let him play 48 minutes. I'd hate to think that fatigue actually came into play. I thought it came into play more in the end of game two when you could physically see guys on the Cavs hunched over, maybe more than the adrenaline of being back home did as far as fatigue factor in game three last night. But no doubt I think the depth has caught up, obviously, to the Cavs, their lack of bench production, and obviously what the Warriors are able to do. And kudos to Steve and, to a lesser extent, Mike Brown for starting this off in game one, sticking to their rotations. And even though they had to play Clay and Steph and KD 40 minutes each last night, they were still able to get them off the floor at key times to catch some key rest and put them back in the game. So I don't think there's any doubt when you look back in hindsight that LeBron probably suffered a little fatigue, and obviously his fourth quarter numbers are going to show that.
Kerry Keating is our guest. You've covered this team and this run all year long, especially when Durant came in. I said today with the assertion that Durant is now the best player in the world. He's proving it in the NBA Finals. He's going to be the MVP. The shot selection, the defense, the block shots, everything that he's doing is distinguishing himself in the prime of his career. Do you believe now that Durant in his prime is better than LeBron?
Well, he's put himself in a position to really showcase who he is, even more so than was on display at OKC. I think everybody knew how good he was and could be, and he dealt with a dynamic personality and talent and teammate in Russell Westbrook that got them close to that point. But now you put him on a complete team, obviously, albeit with three other All-Stars and potential Hall of Famers, but that brings out the best. The cream does rise to the top. I mean, LeBron has been in this position before, and yes, he was able to win championships when they went to Miami with Bosh and Wade and whoever was left on that to kind of jump on board. I think we're just getting into this mode now where KD is right now currently putting himself in a position to who has won at the last point, who is playing the best at the current moment. And KD certainly is putting himself in that position. But I tell you what, JT, and I'm sure you might have a little bit to say in this, having covered the team a little bit longer than I have, you got to really take your hat off to what Steph is doing right now.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that what he's doing and almost about to potentially average a triple-double in the finals, whether the game goes four or five, whatever, he's right at that precipice right now. He's doing some special stuff that I don't think we've had the privilege of seeing and has been masked by his two MVP runs. And now, of course, KD inevitably probably going to win the MVP. But, man, KD's put himself in a position to be a definitely fear factor for the rest of the other 29 teams in this league for years to come.
Wrapping it up with Kerry Keating, finally, what happens in game four? Am I missing this? I don't think Cleveland even shows up. I think it's a blowout. I think they'll give everything for the first half. What do you expect the flow to be in this game, and what should the Warriors be concerned about in this closeout game?
I literally, and I think the frustration that LeBron showed in that play late where he may or may not have kicked his foot out, let's not get into all the semantics of that, but I think there's frustration that's naturally going to sit in on a competitor's part as far as the Cavaliers go. The only thing I'm really concerned about, JT, is that it's just an absolute slugfest and something that becomes unwatchable. Whether the Warriors win it or not, the game itself could be like that, because I think you're right. Even though pride is on the line, you don't want to get swept, it's a virtually impossible task to win four in a row now, obviously. So we know that. And I just think, as I like to say with Larry and joke around with the old adage of the guys who know they were getting swept, it's 1-2-3 Cancun in that locker room, because these guys have had a long road and they just got beat down after two unbelievable efforts that all came up short.
Can I get your Matt Steinmetz impression on the way out, please?
I don't know, JT. This thing might come back to Oracle on Monday. You never know. I don't know now, JT.
Beautiful. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you probably next week. Thank you, Coach. Take care. There he is, Kerry Keating joining us, host of Warriors Warm Up. Yeah, you know, it could be a slugfest in Game 4. I mean, the Warriors cannot lose Game 4 now. For those who want more basketball, and I've been one of them, now you got to get the sweep. You got to annihilate them in Game 4 and go 16-0 so Joe Lacob can sell those 16-0 T-shirts. I mean, they're going to be everywhere, right? Can I get a piece of those T-shirts and that action? Those 16-0 shirts are coming. They're already printed. There's some warehouse in Oakland right now working 24/7 printing out those NBA championship shirts in the 16-0. I know some warehouse has got that because it's obvious they're going to win. And then they become one of the greatest teams of all time with their two rings in 3 years, and the dynasty train is back on track. And then what are we going to talk about after that? I always say there are often times that the Warriors don't provide any meaningful content to sports talk because they're winning, and they're winning easily. But now the Warriors become the team that we talk about throughout the offseason before we get to football season because other teams need to react quickly when it comes to trading for Chris Paul, opting out with Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony and Paul George, Lonzo Ball going to the Lakers, and what do the Lakers do to try to recruit someone else? And then all the cards that Danny Ainge is holding in Boston with the team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals will take Fultz with the number one pick overall, but also has players that they can trade. This is why, for being a Warrior fan, it's going to be so entertaining. Every move that's made around the league, even in the commissioner's office, is going to have to do with the Golden State Warriors. That keeps the Warriors relevant, not only in the postseason, regular season, but the offseason. That's the best part about working on this flagship station, is that you talk about the Warriors the entire year because other teams are going to make moves against them, because if they don't, what kind of league do we have? What kind of league do we have now if there's not at least LeBron or another team going after that fourth All-Star and trying to copy the formula of the Golden State Warriors? Los Gatos, the professor, thanks for holding. Go.
JT, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, just a comment, whether it was a collapse or the Warriors just played better. In my mind, it was just superior coaching. I mean, they rested KD. They rested Steph. No question that they deserved to win that game. They had the 11-0 run. When LeBron plays 45 and Kyrie plays 45, it's really hard to catch up and do the job that they need to do. The question that I have for you is, let's say that Steve Kerr wasn't on the bench and you had Brown on the bench. Do we have the same result, or is there a little more panic? Because they were so—
That's a fair question. Let me jump in. That's a fair question, and out of respect to Mike Brown, I'll say the same thing. Mike Brown wouldn't have had any effect on LeBron passing to Kyle Korver, correct? Right? Do we all agree?
Correct.
If Steve Kerr's there, we don't know what's going to happen. So, but I don't know. I don't know if Mike Brown, after that miss, calls a timeout. I don't know if Mike Brown decides to call a timeout and get them out of the flow, and that gives Cleveland time to get back into their defense. Thanks for the call and make a decision. No, out of respect to this team, which is 15-0 in the NBA playoffs and undefeated in the finals, I'm going to give Mike Brown the credit he deserves, that he could have handled that spot last night. I thought Ty Lue was exposed a number of times in this series for not making adjustments, but the blame for Cleveland's loss is squarely on the shoulder of LeBron James. LeBron James is the reason the Warriors won that game last night. If LeBron James, who was unbelievable in the first half, doesn't disappear at times in the fourth quarter and puts that game away, we're talking about maybe Cleveland tying up the series on Friday night. Now, Cleveland died last night, and their funeral is Friday. And you all have tickets and front row seats to a funeral in Cleveland. I would be thrilled, if I'm a Warrior fan, to know after what Cleveland did to you last year, down 3-1, that you get a chance to get back at them, your rival, with the sweep and do it in dramatic fashion. I think that's very exciting. 888-957-9570. RJ Bell coming up in about 20 minutes on how to bet the game. I'm wide open next. We've got a lot of post-game sound, preview sound that's just starting to fly in. Great job by our team here on 95.7 Dubs Radio, powered by Verizon.
Here's Tristan Thompson. Screens for Irving. They double-team him. The ball goes to James in the corner. Stripped by Andre. Loose ball. It's out of bounds. James can't control it. The Warriors get the ball back with 10.4. Andre Iguodala with a huge defensive play.
Just stole the ball away from James. James was not going to take a chance that they would foul.
Now, back to JT the Brick on 95.7 Dubs Radio.
Good to have you back. No debate. I'm a Sky is Falling radio host. I get very dramatic on these legacy moments and what's happening here. And when I'm wrong, I tell you about it. The Warriors should sweep. Once they went up 2-0 and were dominating by an average of 20 points at Oracle, all they had to do was win game three, a game they should have lost to get the sweep. Now the sweep is obvious to everybody out there. If Cleveland wins that game for whatever reason, that hurts the Warriors. That really does hurt the Warriors. They'll still be NBA champs easily, but they need the sweep now. We all agree on that. All in on the sweep. It adds to the legacy. It adds to the aura of this team that'll be talked about for generations to come. This team moves right up and is compared to all the great teams. Bill Russell Celtics, that were a dynasty. Jordan's Bulls. Shaq and Kobe. Don't forget Shaq and Kobe and what they were able to do. Magic and the Showtime Lakers and Larry Bird with the great Celtics teams. So if the Warriors ended up losing this finals, I said they'd be the Seahawks. They'd have one ring in 3 years. Everybody would forget them. They'd call them underachievers. That's what was at stake for Durant taking this job. Whenever you take a new job in life, like I love this new job, but no matter what happens, people are going to have opinions. It's the greatest show I've ever heard. It's the worst show. It ended too soon. It went too long. Everybody's got an opinion. You got to live in the moment while you're doing it, while you're living in the moment. In the moment right now, the Warriors look like one of the greatest teams of all time. Could that change? Possibly. I don't see how. I think that they get a chance to leap. Now look at the Spurs with five rings, right? They had David Robinson and Tim Duncan on a team. Two Hall of Famers, elite players. Well, is this team better than that Spurs team that won the championship in 99? Yeah, they are. No doubt. So we're moving this Warriors team ahead of some of the greatest teams that were ever assembled. Another good example is Olajuwon. Olajuwon and the Rockets with Drexler and their championships. Really elite team. Even though Jordan was on hiatus, they went through Ewing and Stark shot the Knicks out of a championship. Olajuwon is just looking around going, oh, my God, this team's better than my team. That was a really good team. You know, the 76ers with Dr. J. So this is what the Warriors are trying to do. They're trying to get us to remember about the other teams that were great because this team is better. And that's what we're seeing with the sweep. That's why it was so important to all of us, all of us. It was so important that the Patriots lost the Super Bowl when they were 18-0, because if they would have won, there would have never been a debate, never been a debate. It would have been the Patriots are the greatest team of all time. Now the debate becomes, are the Patriots the greatest organization? Well, the Patriots sucked. They were the Clippers for their entire existence. Well, the only reason why the Patriots are elite now and maybe the best organization in sports is because they play in the AFC East. You see the Jets tanking on purpose? The Jets. Oh, and Raider fans, I'm going to get to this one for you. Because the Raiders play the Jets for the home opener. I don't think the Raiders have an easy game on that schedule other than the Jets. Do we all agree? The Charger games are not going to be easy. Kansas City's been a horror, Denver, whatever. So the Raiders have this brutally tough schedule. But now they've been given a gift. The Jets have quit. They're not even going to show up. They quit. Well, that should guarantee that the Raiders win their home opener and at a minimum go 1-1. Beating Tennessee puts the Raiders at 2-0 because the Jets are quitting. Well, I don't look at the Raiders winning their home opener. I look at the Patriots, because of the Jets quitting, winning two easy games to the Raiders one. And the Raiders are going to be chasing the Patriots already out of the gate because the Patriots are in the Jets division and they're quitting. So bringing this all back to the Warriors and their great teams and their dynasties and their legacies, the reason why this is easy for them is Durant. If Durant did not leave Oklahoma City, there is a chance today that we're not even talking about the Warriors in the NBA Finals. That Durant and Westbrook, coming off what will be Westbrook's MVP, were good enough to beat the Warriors because the Warriors wouldn't have Durant. And if the Warriors didn't have Durant, I could promise you they wouldn't be sweeping the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, Durant won the game last night when they were losing. So this changes everything. So I'm just happy for KD, Kevin Durant. I'm happy that he doesn't have to answer his critics anymore. On Friday night, he should be holding the MVP award over his head. And for anybody who says, well, he took the easy road out, they look ridiculously dumb because Durant played great. Now, if Durant didn't play well in the NBA Finals and he disappeared in two of the four wins, then you're talking about, all right, Durant kind of won. He didn't do anything, kind of hung on to get the ring. Durant has quieted everybody. No matter what happens in game four, Durant is now a made man. He's a made man. That's it. No more debate on Kevin Durant. He's better than LeBron as of last night. And I will stay with that for years to come, unless something changes, which I don't see. Chris in West Oakland, coming off the Game 3 win. Hello, Chris.
Hey, JT. Absolutely. And you know, the one other thing, too, about the Durant detractors, what you saw last night is one of the very reasons he left Oklahoma City and why I don't think, know that he would have ever won a title there. Because when he got that rebound, and he's got a co-star in Steph Curry, that unlike Russell Westbrook, the minute Durant got that rebound last night, Westbrook would have sprinted to the ball, demanded it, then waved everybody out of the way. And if Durant would have got a shot in the last 30 seconds, it most likely would have been after Russell Westbrook either dribbled the ball, the shot clock down to five and had nowhere to go, and only out of desperation, you know, threw the ball out, and then KD's forced to take a bad shot or get the ball with 5 seconds left on the clock. He's got a willing co-star in Steph Curry. And as far as the other thing about LeBron and the blame, it's a combination of both, and two things can be equally true, JT. Absolutely right. I've always said LeBron's a great player. But we saw last night why he will never be in the conversation, in my mind, as the greatest. Because you can play great in the NBA for 45 minutes, but if you can't control the last three, you can lose a game, and that takes you out of the conversation of the Kobe, of the Kareem, of the Michael Jordan. He was great last night. And what did I say in my phone call yesterday? What LeBron doesn't do, his big weakness, when a game gets tough and defenses collapse, he can't just bull his way to the basket, which I'm with you. He had Draymond on his heels last night. I thought he should have. I don't think LeBron wanted to go to the free throw line in that situation. And pulling up for an 8-footer where for Kobe or MJ is money in the bank, that's LeBron's weakness. And those guys kicked, you know, Kobe, MJ, when everybody says he kicked the ball out to Kerr, he passed. Yeah, Kerr was a lethal marksman. You know, he wasn't passing the ball to Luke Longley on the post. You know, Kobe was passing the ball to Robert Horry and Derek Fisher, guys that were proven to make big shots in big situations. But enough about LeBron, JT. Oh, and one other thing, though. I'm going to use your words against you about the Patriots. Same thing with LeBron. You can't talk about his accomplishments. Yes, it's impressive. 7 straight finals, but he's played in the Eastern Conference. And I told you all year long, the Cavs are not even the second-best team in basketball. That was a healthy Spurs, which the biggest break the Warriors got was catching them injured because that was going to be a hell of a series. But as far as the game last night, they took the gut shot. They did everything they could. It's over. This is the one day of the series where there's one day off. I think Cleveland is exhausted. I think you might see the Warriors hit on all cylinders and just run them out of the gym early after Cleveland comes out and puts up a brief fight. And one final thing, the quiet superstar, my man Clay. He's the one that kept that team in the game in the first half when it could have got away. And at the end of the game, hey, Kyrie made some tough-ass shots with Clay draped all right over him. But at the end of the day, he couldn't get by Clay Thompson. Clay knew the angles. He didn't let Kyrie get by him and forced him to take a fadeaway three-pointer, again, which set the stage for KD. So, you know, this series is over, JT, and I'm calling a 20-point victory. I think they're going to run these guys out of the building on Friday night.
Yeah, perfect segue. Thank Chris. RJ Bell will join us next, the most recognized name when it comes to picking games and his team. RJ will tell you coming up how to bet this game. And if you're going to place a bet on this, no one better than RJ Bell, who joins us next on 95.7 Dubs Radio, powered by Verizon. All right, we'll get to RJ in a moment here. My final thoughts on what happened in Game 3. I clearly believe that LeBron James lost the game The Warriors came back with an outstanding 11-0 run to take that game and steal it from defeat and put it in the win column. That being said, LeBron James made three bad decisions down the stretch. It was the switch off on Kevin Durant when Durant hit the baseline shot over Tristan Thompson. That was LeBron's guy, and LeBron at that moment didn't want to compete at the highest level. The pass to Korver will go down in history as one of the worst decisions of LeBron James's career. He had a two-point lead, he had Draymond Green in foul trouble, and he could have went to the free throw line to try to put that game away. Korver misses that open look, and now everybody believes that's a good shot, better than LeBron James in the paint going towards the basket. That, to me, is ridiculous. And then finally, when Durant hit the 26-foot three over LeBron, LeBron was backpedaling below the three-point line instead of coming forward to Durant because of fatigue, bad decision, whatever it was. And on that moment, when Kevin Durant hit that three over LeBron James, that moment, Durant became the best basketball player in the world. That moment was the changing of the guard. Durant in his prime, LeBron on the back end of his prime, Durant making a great play as LeBron makes a mistake. That, to me, will be the moment the rest of our lives where LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time, turned over and gave the credit to Durant, who now is officially the best basketball player in the world. RJ Bell joins us from pregame.com. Wow, you've been telling us for a long time about the odds to the Warriors, the odds for the Warriors to win it all. What's changing now in Vegas as the Warriors go for a sweep and they're a heavy road favorite in game four?
You know, everyone knows that listens, JT. I'm a big fan of yours, but that intro, I'm not going to say the best of all time, but that is some really good radio. Great Thank stuff. God. One thing that comes up, if you don't mind, about what you just said, I think there's a couple things, but one thing that jumps out at me, I had a sense of deja vu. Remember before LeBron won his first title and he was in Cleveland pre-Miami, and he used to, you know, late in the game, throw out to an open three shooter, miss it, and everyone says, oh, you can't win that way, right? And then as the years went by and they won with his, you know, super teams, you know, in Miami for sure, is the sense was, oh, look, he just needed supporting players and him being unselfish is the better way to play. But I'm not sure that's true at the end of these games. I think over the course of a season, if you could say LeBron, play like Michael or play like Magic, I would rather him play like Magic because I think he's just so well suited, LeBron is, to be that guy that can score but also share the ball, where obviously Michael was more about scoring. But I wonder, in the last minute of playoff level basketball, if that isn't the way to approach it, that Michael saying, this is about me because I'm a transcendent player, come on my back, let's go, maybe that is the way to play in the last minute of games or the last couple minutes of these playoff games. And that would be a paradox, wouldn't it, JT? That on one hand, the way LeBron plays is maybe even better in the regular season. And I think that case, is LeBron a better regular season player than Michael? I could hear that conversation. But the idea of being a better postseason player than Michael, I don't even think it's a conversation because I don't think you can pass in that spot.
RJ Bell joins us. So what's happening? What are you hearing within Vegas on the sweep? How many of these casinos are going to get buried on the sweep of the Warriors if they do that? And this last game, the handicap, very interesting to me, RJ, because they want to sweep. They want to go 16-0, kind of like when the Patriots were 18-0 and wanted to crown themselves the greatest team of all time. A lot of our listeners think the Warriors are going to win by much more than 6 or 6.5 or 7 on Friday night.
Yeah, and I think the analogy with the Patriots is probably better for that last regular season game against the Giants, if you remember, and I'm sure you do, because that was a game the debate was, should they care about this? Should they rest? Obviously, Belichick played. That was a great game, as I remember, and both teams played and super hard in that game. And the reason I say that is, obviously, in the Super Bowl, it's one and done, right? So the main motivation in the Super Bowl is winning the Super Bowl, but no one thinks – that if somehow the Warriors lose game four, that they're not going to, you know, likely win the series. They'd still be huge favorites. So I think you bring up a great point. The motivation to sweep is that 16-0, and I think they're hyper-motivated. And I think there's a good chance that we see a blowout, Golden State just blowout. Because remember, this is a game in which, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, this goes Friday, right? So this is the one time in this series that there's only one day's rest. And LeBron played, you know, he was tired at the end of that game. So I think the combination of being tired after seven straight finals, you know, that accumulated fatigue with the fact that this is a short rest, with the fact that they left it on the court, with the fact of the emotional letdown, I think there's a chance of a big blowout. What sophisticated bettors are doing in Vegas, not all of them, but some of them, you can play, let's say, Golden State minus 15. So you're giving up a bunch of points, but get over 3-1 payout. And typically those bets aren't good because the books really understand, you know, okay, if a team's favored by 6, what's the odds of them winning by 10, 15, 20? But I think this is an asymmetrical situation where there's a better chance than historic than there would be historically that Cleveland's down by 10 with 6 minutes left and it's just all over. They just give up. I could see Golden State really blowing this team out. And if so, finding those big payoff bets, laying a bigger spread number might be an interesting bet.
RJ Bell joins us at RJ in Vegas as we wrap it up. What is the downside for these casinos that early in the year fans bet Warriors to win the title, even though it was expensive to do that? How vulnerable are the casinos in regards to fans cashing those tickets?
You know, sometimes let's go back to March Madness, NCAA tournament. One of the biggest books in Vegas told me of every college basketball team, over 300 of them, there were only two teams that they would have lost money in the future pool. Duke and UCLA, right? Obviously very popular teams. It's almost never that in the NBA that the favorite is going to hurt the book because they're going to price that in a way. They know they're going to get a ton of favorite action. So they price it in a way that they're not going to get hurt. So I don't think they're getting hurt at all. And remember, and you intimated towards it, but it's worth saying explicitly, at the All-Star break, Golden State was the biggest favorite in NBA history. At the start of the playoffs, Golden State was the biggest favorite in NBA history. So just in the last couple games, I've heard, oh, is this an all-time team? I mean, everyone thought a top 10, top 12 team. But the idea, is this the best team of all time? The media has only started that conversation as far as I can see. And I don't know about the local Bay Area, but nationally, it's only started after the first blowout against Cleveland. But Vegas has believed Golden State, relative to competition, best team in NBA history since the All-Star break, if not before.
Pregame.com at RJ in Vegas. Talk to you the rest of the week, RJ. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, JT.
RJ Bell. Yeah, he's been telling you this. He's been great on this show. This is the greatest team of all time from a Vegas perspective and the amount of tickets being cashed on the Warriors and how he thinks it'll be a blowout in game four. He's an odds expert. He likes them in a blowout in game four. And I think a lot of people are going to bet it that way. And the number will change as I go off the air here and Greg and Bonte come up here. We're talking about Cleveland. It opened up a pick'em game before the series started. Now it's Warriors minus 6.5. I think that number will move to at least 7, 7.5 before tip off on Friday. Unbelievable effort today. Thanks to everyone. Ben and Brian put the show together. Great energy from everyone. Enjoy the ride. It's getting better heading into Friday night and the sweep on 95.7 Dubs Radio, powered by Verizon.
Come on my back.